Is life all about getting? Is life about being compensated? Is life about getting benefits from life, tangibly and intangibly? And Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay on compensation says, that is not the end of life. If you study compensation, you will find out every benefit you get, you have some kind of ailment or problem that goes with it. Every challenge that you have comes with some kind of a benefit. So if you get some good, you have to pay for it. And if you have something that's negative or you have something that's lacking, then you're going to be rewarded for that. So what is the point of life is what a lot of people say. But I was the kind of person who really did want benefits of compensation for myself. I wanted it because those things I didn't have, I wanted. But after reading this essay, I realized that it does not matter how much you gain. If you put many massive riches in your heart and in your bank account, you will have to pay by losing a part of your soul. If you put much into your soul, you have to lose something out of your bank account or somewhere else. And not really the soul, but into your own mind, into your own thinking. Thinking is, in your own thinking, in your mind, in your ideas, in your smarts. But the way Ralph Waldo Emerson put it is, you are a soul, not a compensation. And the reason that we do things is not to be compensated or not be compensated, but for the joy of the soul. Understanding that, yes, as I go along this path, there will be benefits and there will be challenges, and they will balance each other out. But the one thing that outweighs everything else is the heart. So if I do things for my heart's purposes, although, yes, I will be punished and I will get gains and I will be weak and I will have strengths and all of those will balance each other out, I will have my heart and my soul and my power of love and direction and inspiration that takes the place of all of those challenges. So it is a soul that I'm living for, not for compensation. So I know that it's not good to win the lottery because the lottery comes with its own problems. The more money I make, the more people who come around who can help me spend it. The less money I make, the less friends I have around who spend it, but the more solitude I have and the more peace of mind I have. There's always two ends to a coin. And knowing this, I'm going to pursue my life and decide consciously what I'm going to let go and what I'm going to bring in, what I'm going to allow and what I'm going to disallow, because I know what I'm willing to sacrifice. The question for myself now is this: is what you're giving up worth it? Bob Proctor said something to me that made me think, and I'm happy that he makes me think. He said, when you pick a goal, make sure it's worth it because you're giving your life for it. What goal is worth my life? The only goal that is worth my life is a goal that gives me a greater experience of life itself. I just saw a jet fly over my head. This jet, the people who sacrifice their lives to create a jet and build a jet, build the plane. It was a plane. The plane did not exist, but they had to endure ridicule, people calling them insane, people disapproving of them, losing their approval of parents and family members and everyone. But what they gained was the experience of what they could actually do. I believe it's some kind of compensation programmed into this universe that you cannot have your full self and everyone's approval as well. I don't believe that if you have your full self that you have anyone's approval. I believe that you have to do something without anyone's approval. And I think that if you're really going to do what is in your soul, then there's nobody who can assist you with it. You have to give up all assistance if you're going to have your full self. You have to make your claims boldly with no evidence other than your soul says it to be so. Ralph Waldo Emerson also said, "To believe, to claim what is true for yourself is true for everyone. That is true divinity." And what that means is trusting your own God on the inside of you exclusively. This is a hard thing to do because we love to connect so much. But by connecting with people, we sacrifice our own life energy. By connecting and wanting connection so badly with others, we sacrifice our own individuality and our own authenticity to gain the approval and connection of other people. Approval and connection is valuable, but if you want to have your full self, there's no way you can have your full self and also have the approval of everyone at the same time. The only place that you can meet God is in solitude. And this is an oxymoron. This is compensation at its best. You cannot have the approval of the world and the deepest connection with God at the same time. You must spend alone time. This world is a very strange world. Compensation is a very strange law. Other way to call it is the law of balance. Hey, puppy. Hey, come here. Look at you. You rolling in the grass. Come here. Come here. Come here. Dogs are so cute. As I look at this dog, I look at this dog come out and play with me. And that was just a generous gift of life. It's beautiful to experience that life. So beautiful to just experience a life come to me. Life attracts life. And a focus on life beyond just the physical circumstances will attract you life. And the circumstances may look chaotic. The circumstances may look disorderly, but there is an order in chaos if you look into nature. Walk into nature. There is no human order or no lines or rows for the trees to be. But there is a harmony, inconceivable harmony and beauty and interconnectedness to nature that is undeniable. And it is this beautiful interconnectedness that nature shows us that shows that there is harmony in the chaos. And if we can embrace the chaos, then we can embrace the harmony. In the Bible, Mary, Jesus's mother, the one who was a virgin who bore the Son of God, when we look into what the names mean of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is known as the Savior, Messiah or Savior. And Mary is known as, the etymology of Mary is the rebellion. So when we look at the symbology of the book, the Savior of our lives is born from the rebellion or the chaos. The chaos that we see in our lives, if we can embrace it as the womb of our harmony and we can give ourselves completely to the chaos, then we can see the order within the chaos and allow the harmony to emerge. How many of us have had the experience of running into a circumstance that you cannot handle and you do not know if you're going to make it or not, and having to give yourself completely to the reality that you don't know, to the chaotic feelings of worry? And you had to give yourself over to the understanding that you do not know what's going to happen next. The unknown. The unknown may seem chaotic to a lot of us, and it is chaos to our mind. But to our spirit, we understand that there is some inherent harmony to the chaos that is going to bear the fruit of beauty, harmony, order, love, success. We can see it. But we have to be willing to give ourselves over to the unknown. We have to be willing to give ourselves over to the mysterious thing that we don't know in order to produce the fruits of what we've known in our hearts all along. There's a compensation to everything. I'm loving to study the law of compensation. The more I study the law of compensation, the more I come into a balance and an ease and a peace in life. Not because I know everything, but because I know that the pathway to knowing is to embrace the unknown and to accept the unknown completely and inevitably. And that embracing this completely unknown will bring me everything I've known in my heart all along. How do I know this? I don't. And that is why it is true. The head could never know the truth. The intellect can never grasp the truth. And if I know something that the head, if I know something in my heart that my head has no idea about, I trust it. Because it is in the chaos of the mind and the harmony of the heart where the harmony of the mind comes. In the middle of circumstances, have you not had the experience of going within yourself and making a little prayer that says, I can make it. I believe. I somehow know all things are okay. And then they became okay. But it wasn't until you accepted the truth in your heart that your mind and your senses were able to see the physical circumstance of Savior or Christ. We are here to learn the beauty of the law, the beauty of our being, the beauty of law, the beauty of balance, the beauty of this place, the beauty of energy, the beauty of ebb and flow, the beauty of compensation, the beauty. We're here to learn the beauty, but the beauty is different than we think. The beauty is found in the chaos of our own circumstances, in the ugliness of our lack and weaknesses. In our weaknesses, if we give ourselves over completely to them, we will find that there's a strength divinely that takes the place of our limited limbs. If a man was born with no arms and feet, he was born with more spirit. If a man was born with no circumstances, he was born with more power in his mind. If a man was born with a lack of mind and a lack of spirit, he may be born with a beautiful body and a beautiful physique, or she. This is the way it is. If we can accept this and we can allow the flow of life to happen the way that it happens, if we can just relax into the truth of how this is, everything is paid for. Regardless if you think you're getting away with it or not, it's being paid for. Your ignorance and arrogance is being paid for by taking it from your pocket and your heart. You knowing everything will stop you from really knowing. The love of God is in all of us and around us. And I'm excited for you to see it.